is 1360 AM. WNJC. Washington Township. Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station. Brought to you from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJCradio.com.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer pulling on a rein. Bells are ringing, children's ear all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayer, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells
jingle. All right, and good evening and welcome. This is Practice Preparedness with your host, Will Hemingway, coming to you every Tuesday now from 6 to 7. We've been playing musical chairs. Saturday, Sunday, now we're on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we're pretty sure this is going to be the sticker.
It'll be the Christmas miracle.
It's all
of the
good.
Year,
so. It's all good. So, yes, and you heard as we introed in with Elvis, yep. Kind of a collaboration. I had a gun to my head to do Christmas music. So, Eddie is in a Christmas spirit. So,
Gotta do it.
So you got your Christmas music, and we'll get a little more on the outro.
We have to make something feel Christmas. It's going to be 73 degrees on Christmas Eve.
Can
so it's
you
like
imagine?
We got to get something on Christmas.
It's, you know, I heard it the other day. Someone called me and told me they were 100% sure that they heard the president saying the other day that I was completely responsible for global warming, and it's all my fault that it's going to be 70-plus degrees out on Christmas Day.
Now we know
I'll
who
take
to blame.
It. Forget the fact, by the way, that there is more ice currently in Antarctica than ever in history in the last 10,000 years.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, in any event, for those of you who have not heard us before, because we have switched days, I used to do a political talk show for 16 and a half years on this station mostly, but we are Practice Preparedness, and our goal is to teach you to be prepared. I teach survival and both urban and wilderness survival, and I teach both businesses and private people. We do a couple of free classes a month down in Williamstown. If you go to our website, practicepreparedness.com, you'll find a button there that will take you to meetup.com where you can join our two meetup groups. Excuse me. Clear that throat. Yes, and just because life always throws you a curveball, which is probably why I teach survival and preparedness, right before I started back on the air a few weeks ago, 3 days before, just to make it interesting, I lost my voice, and I am starting to get it back, so you're in trouble because there won't be a break. I am lining up a whole pile of guests to come on over the next few months. It's a little difficult during the Christmas season, but we will make it happen. Meanwhile, to give you a little breakdown, so if you want to come to our free classes, they're actually $2. Woo, that'll break the bank. You can go into the meetup. We have two groups, an advanced and a basic group. If you petition to join, I'll let you in, and then tell us that you heard me on the radio, and we'll welcome to see you at one of the classes. They happen on mostly the first Monday and every third Thursday of the month. Throughout the year, we're pretty much booked at the location we go to through 2017, so you're pretty safe with that. In any event, we also do a lot of outside activities, even in the winter, with hikes and campouts and hands-on training with knots and rope work and rappelling and auto safety and auto repair and all kinds of other things, all of which equal what this show is all about, which is no disaster when you're prepared. Life every day throws you a curveball. If you are prepared, you will survive. You hear all these people, you see all these silly shows, Naked and Afraid. Sorry if you end up somewhere like that and you don't have clothes on, you've got bigger problems than the fact that you can't start a fire. But reality, real world reality, is that things happen, and if you have skills and you're practiced, they become merely bumps in the road. If not, it may cost you your life. So it is worth your time to spend a little time putting your time in, practicing, getting ready, having some gear, having some supplies and whatnot. And over the period of the next few months, we're going to delve pretty heavily into that. Today, I had lined someone up to call in, but because we had changed days, it made it a little more complicated. But what it really did was make an excuse for them to not call in after a conversation I had with them this afternoon, because they didn't like the questions I asked. So for point of reference, I spent most of my life as an interrogative interviewer, so one thing I can do is ask questions and generally get actual answers that mean something. So the topic each week will be announced, and you'll find it most of the time on the web, on our practicepreparedness.com website. If you look there, there's a button to go and see, and there are show links for each week, and it will take you to references, videos on YouTube, or whatever it is that I refer you to during the show. A lot of times I will post them ahead of time. Today I did not get the chance to because we changed around a little what we're going to do for timing. That said, it'll at least give you some reference material to carry on after we go off the air and be able to experience the whole thing. So this week, the topic of the week is water purification. And this is a very specific topic that touches a broad series of issues. It is as applicable when you are at home and all the lights are on and everything's normal as it is if the grid was down or you were out in the woods or in the wilderness and you couldn't get back to civilization. All applicable no matter where you are. And if you have a root, a base of knowledge about water filtration, water purification, you can save your life. So, first thing that I would point you to is on one of the primary websites is practicesurvival.com. And on practicesurvival.com, you'll find a whole section there on practice self-reliance. There are buttons to all of them off of the practice preparedness site. When you look under water skills in the area on practice survival, you will find a plethora of information about how much you need of water, what types of water, how you handle it, how you conserve its sources, and lots of other things. So we're going to start first with something those of you who are survival wonks, who watch lots of YouTube videos, maybe have some skills, hands-on first person, and watch TV reality shows, and you hear some of these so-called survival experts who either because they don't know or because they've been pushed by the people who shoot their shows to make them more catchy, they use terms. And one of my big pet peeves you will find on Practice Survival Underwater Skills, which is the rule of threes. So the rule of threes, as all these people who one vomits this out and then the next one copies and the next one copies them until they don't even know who started it and don't even know if anyone actually ever made sure that this was true. They just keep saying it and it sounds good and it's quippy. So the rule of threes, so to speak, is 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. So I will first ask you a simple question. You look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself this: how many hours do you go in your day at work, at home, out at the ball field or wherever where you don't start getting a headache, get cranky because you haven't eaten 3 hours, 4 hours? Do you get a headache when you've been 4 hours out without water? Let me tell you, if you think anyone you know is a big B, you know that song from Cartman in South Park, one of our favorite songs, if you think that that's bad, it's like that Snickers commercial where they turn into the diva.
Oh, yeah.
And then they hand them the Snickers bar, and they're like, you really turn into a bee when you haven't eaten. And imagine how bad it would be if you had no lights, no water, no electricity, no water, no heat. Mm-hmm. And you had somebody in there, or all of you, being that way.
That's scary.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So this is why understanding that it's all nice to say 3 minutes, 3 hours, blah, blah, but the reality of it is if you go 3 weeks without food, they're probably going to find you with a 60 or below heart rate, with very, very low, dangerously low blood pressure, laying in a pool of your excrement and sputum.
Wow.
And they're going to have to give you CPR. Would you want to be them?
Nope.
I don't.
I don't.
And I'd probably be standing there looking, going, do they deserve it?
Oh, my God.
Like,
well, then.
Somebody have the mouth dam? Quick, here, you use it. I'm good. I'm going to go get a truck. You know, the problem is that these are realities, so don't get there. You should never get there. You should always, I talked about it last week, about doing the car survival and the winter survival. You should always have a kit with you. You should carry a small backpack and keep it with you. By the way, don't lay it down near any trash cans or near any large gatherings of people and walk away, or you may get pummeled by 19 police officers and Homeland Security if you leave your backpack alone. So don't do that.
Yeah,
keep it on you.
Okay.
But you should have a couple of bottles of water. You should have some protein bars, maybe some packets of peanut butter if you're not allergic or whatever, so that trail mix, so that you can sustain yourself for some time to get out of whatever situation you did not expect to have.
Right.
So realize that and all this, by the way, you can find on the site on Practice Survival under the Water Facts section. So you can find things like, for instance, what you need to know. So how much water do you need a day? I've talked about on the show before, the average American burns their way through 100 gallons of water a day, most of which is wasted going down the drain in the toilet. 70% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. 95% of the Earth's water in its oceans are salt and saline. And 2.5% is brackish. You know how that number adds up? I see your brain grinding there, Eddie. You're in college. I know you're smart enough. You figured it out. That's right. 0.5% of all the water on Earth is clean, fresh water that you can drink.
Really?
Yes. So you watch someone like, we'll leave nameless Survivor Man, or whoever else, and they go, oh, look, that's coming out of a fresh spring. I can drink that. And they leave out the part where they're painting the rocks with their backside because they just got Montezuma's revenge. Any one of you out there that is listening, if that shocks you, then you probably don't camp. And you probably are not quite ready yet to call yourself a survivalist, but it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good because you can get there.
Right.
And I'm not talking, by the way, about four AR-15s and AK and Cammy. I'm talking about real world.
Right.
I'm talking about you're a normal person doing normal things every day. And what if you came home and were sitting there watching the game or watching It's a Wonderful Life, and then all of a sudden you go to the bathroom, you flush the toilet, and it doesn't refill. You go to wash your hands, and there's no water, and you go, what's going on? And you find out that down the street they broke a water main.
Wow.
And you're 5 days till they fix it. After Sandy, people didn't have good water, running water that was potable for 3 weeks, sometimes more. Even some of them were 2 months. where would you be in that situation? Do you have a plan? Do you have an idea of what you would do? These are critical questions. Right. So, you know, the funny thing about it is right now, because politics as what it is, they keep telling you, oh, well, there's a coming water crisis. There's a 89% of the people on Earth have no clean running water. In actuality, it is completely not true. What is true, though, is that 89% of all the people in Africa have unclean water that's unsafe to drink. So they get cholera and typhoid, and they die at phenomenally horrendous numbers because they defecate and wash and walk their animals through the same water that they drink out of.
Yeah.
This is a crisis. So there are some answers, but the problem is it requires education. Mm-hmm. And if you are political, let me just tell you that every single one of the problems that you hear people blabbing about on the news every day that are such crises, in the end, you may have to put down the rabid dogs that are threatening you up front. But in the end, the most powerful weapon on earth is education.
Right.
If you are educated, it's the same thing. I think I was telling you, Eddie, was it you the other day? There's never been a nation, a democratic elected by the people, representing the people, nation in history that's ever attacked another nation ever. Because not, at least not unprovoked. And that's almost never. So this is important because you realize that if you're aware, you're not in panic. You are not a victim. The way to not don a victim, the cloak of victimhood, is to recognize the fact that you are in control. Right. The minute you say, "Ooh, I'm a victim, I really can't," you're basically saying, "I can't and will not do anything to change my circumstances." Right. Well, if you're hungry and thirsty and passing out, that answer's really bad. So the fact of the matter is that when you're looking at these things, you need to understand a few things about it. So, for instance, on the page, there's a water needs page on the Practice Survival site. This is good reference material. I have, if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy, I have a Maslow's hierarchy of water use there. And it begins basically with a breakdown of essentially 2.64 gallons per segment of the need. So, for instance, if you're looking at it, you realize that this is in very controlled matter in a grid down situation or something like that. For drinking, you need just shy of 3 gallons a day because you're not going to actually end up with 3 gallons. Right. You're going to need that to pass through filtration and all that once you get there so that then in the end you purify. And the fact of the matter is when you then add in cooking, you jump up to almost 6 gallons a day that you need. And of course, when you cook, you need to clean your hands, do personal hygiene, which we covered last time.
Right.
Now you're up almost 8 gallons. You wash the dishes and do sanitary things. There's another 3 gallons. So you're up into the 11 gallons per person per day.
That's crazy.
And people say, "Oh, that's all right. I got a case of water in my basement. I'm good." So this is why you want to think about things. First of all, having the ability to catch rainwater.
Right.
Unless you live in Arizona, where they get 0.6 inches of rain a year in the desert, you can pretty much hope, like in this area, we average between 48 and 56 inches of rain a year. So that's a pretty good amount of water, and you can, you know, pretty much do pretty well at that. So when you realize that, for instance, 1 inch of rainfall on a 2,000 square foot residential home, if you catch that into gallon, you know, in a 55 gallon bins or something, that is 1,250 gallons of water for 1 inch of rain. We just had, I mean, think about it. Where was it? Texas? I think it was Texas just last week. They had 12 inches of rain in 1 hour.
Wow.
Can you? I mean, holy moly. Insane. Imagine when you think that 1 square mile on the ground and off of the houses that run down onto the ground, there's 19.5 million gallons of water for 1 inch of rain. So the next time you hear them telling you there's a water shortage, this is malarkey. The question becomes, why is it that in England, I teach a class on rainwater catchment, in England, they just enacted a law that requires, I forget the name of it, but it's actually in the British law now, that if you do any renovations to your home or you build a new home or 30% or more of the home is renovated, you are required to put in a 1,500-gallon cistern in the backyard and plumb it into the house so that the rainwater catchment that goes in there is then used and plumbed in a separate plumbing line to go to the toilets and to go to washing clothes and the washing machine and other things. So if you're gonna water your plants, so they expect you to catch rainwater, because if you look on the PWD, Philadelphia Water Department, I have to think about it. PWD, I think it's pwd.gov or pwd.org, I forget. If you can look for me, Eddie. It's the Philadelphia Water Department website. There's a section on there about rainwater catchment. They will even give you a barrel to put the water in to catch it with the screen and everything. And you know why? Because they source their drinking water from the Delaware River and the Schuylkill. And the Philadelphia sewer system, much like everyone else's, a lot of other places around the country that have been around for more than 30 years, their sewer system is called a mixed-use system. And I know it's a little technical, but stick with me here. So imagine they have that big fat pipe that all the sewage runs into. When the rainwater runs off of the road out of the storm sewers, it also goes into that same pipe. And the sewage runs down a section of it, and the water runs down the other. And it ports off one to the streams, that's the rainwater, and the excrement goes off to the plant to be treated. This is apparently turning into an excrement show. But the, in any event, what ends up happening is when there's flooding, the pipe fills, and it all goes out into the creek. Imagine that's places like, Collins Lake, where everybody likes to go swim, and all these other, and Cooper River, where they kayak, and when they tip over, they get a mouthful of Cooper River, whatever. And so why is it that Philadelphia is pushing people to catch rainwater? Because if they can slow down the path of the rain, that over 98% of it be, well, some people say 89, but they say 98% of all rainwater never replenishes the water in the ground. It runs off, taking nutrients from the soil and poisons from the concrete and the asphalt and all that, and runs into the standing bodies of water. So, this is a big deal. Why? Because if you lose your power and don't have water, and it's a rainy day, and all of the water is overflowing and going into the creek, you certainly do not want to go to the creek to go get your water. If you are catching water in a tarp or in a bucket or a barrel or whatever, if you get a decent amount of rain, you can get enough for your entire family for a week just from the rainwater. But you cannot drink it just out of your rain gutter, because unless you haven't noticed, stand outside of your house on a nice day and watch how many birds perch on your rain gutter, and their butt is not facing out. I hate to break it to you. So for those of us who clean our gutters and don't pay someone else, if you, this is why you wear gloves. Because it's yucky, we'll use that term.
And
so, you know, and so what happens? You need to know what to do in order to purify your water. So, I'm going to touch on a really hot subject in the prepping community. We're about to blow away some, shall we say, misunderstanding.
Okay.
See, one of the things that you're going to get used to with practice preparedness is I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm not going to say I'm 100% right all the time, but I've done this for over 25 years. I know this business as a business from the investigative and the risk management side. But what I also know is from having camped and hiked and done surveillances and living in a vehicle for days at a time where you can't leave or give away your position. And you learn very rapidly and test every day how these things work. We have people who are involved in our my groups who are over-the-road truckers. I have one in particular, Jesse, who will end up calling in at some point. She's vetted and tested out a lot of the things that I teach and even made them better than we originally had them because she's on the road doing thousands and thousands of miles a week in her truck and surviving in the truck.
Right.
So these are useful things that we're going to pass to you. But one thing I'm going to tell you is this is not about pitching a product and telling you it's awesome just because they give us a percentage on the sale. Because this is what happens. So those of you who are preppers and know the name Berkey know that they will tell you in all of these locations around the all these expos and the prepper YouTube channels, they talk about the Big Berkey and the Go Berkey kit and all these other things and tell you how awesome they are. And Berkey says on their website, Berkey water filters provide the ultimate in waterborne contamination removal. They're used worldwide to set the international standard for water filters used in clean and hostile filtration environments. But, interestingly enough, I had a live chat with Berkey today, and they decided that they didn't want to come on the show anymore because apparently they didn't like the way it kind of went. I was very courteous. I just asked a lot of questions.
Right.
And essentially what it came back to is the biggest load of BS I've heard in ages, and by the way, I'd heard it before, but let me just tell you that when you talk about filtration, and you need to know the terms. So there's treatment. This is I'm putting bleach in my water. Good luck with that. By the way, it kills all the bacteria in your gut, and that's good and bad bacteria. Yeah. Okay. And now the problem is from city water, you may have a carbon filter that they told you was going to take the taste of chlorine out, but it does not anymore because they're no longer using chlorine for the most part. They're using chlorinamide, which is actually, chlorine has about a 4-day lifespan in the water. The purpose of the exercise, for those of you who are interested in detail, is that they treat your water, they get all the schmutz out of it, and then they send it down the pipeline to you. And while it's sitting in the pipe, waiting for you to turn on the spigot, in all these little cutoffs and bends where sometimes they're never turned on, like to say a fire hydrant or something along that line, it will start to grow bacteria. So in order to not deliver you something swimming in your water when you turn on the faucet, they basically put extra chlorine in it so that it sits in the pipe and keeps bacteria from growing. So they've been having problems because the bacteria are becoming more resistant to chlorine.
Right.
And so they went over to chlorinamide or chlorinamide. And this has a 1-year lifespan. So what now is happening, because this tends to be the trend, oh, quick, we're going to save you. You were dumb. We're going to save you. Look, we're so great. Pay us. And they save you. So they are using this really powerful version of chlorine. And it lives all the way down and into the stream. When it dumps out in the effluent after it's been cleaned out of there, it'll still be there. And it's killing the good fungus and the things that grow, the algae and all in the water that help filter it out in the wild once they dump it back out into the streams, and it's having negative impact on the environment. The other problem is a carbon filter will not remove it. And as a result, you will still taste the chlorine taste, so it tastes like you're drinking pool water. Great. Which I will pass on, thank you
right.
very much.
I was about to say, everyone loves chlorine.
Yeah. So with that in mind, then you need to know that you need to do some other things. So we'll first, so that's treatment. People who camp and hike, people who are military know they used to hand out things like iodine tablets, and then they went to chlorinamide tablets or chloride tablets that you would put in the water, let it sit for 30 minutes, shake it up a bunch of times, and then you drank basically pool water.
Right.
And people who had iodine, were sensitive to iodine, would have CPOD and breathing problems and all kinds of problems with that. So
speaking
that's
of water, though, not to interrupt you, it was PWD.org.
Thank you. Yeah, so awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So in any event, what happens is with that, what you get is now you need to know the other two terms in water handling water to make it potable, which are filtration and purification. So we'll get back to that in a minute, but I want to tell you that we welcome our sponsor, who is our sponsor for this show, one of our sponsors, and that is MaxServe LLC. They're based out of Belmar. They're some great guys. I know Sam personally. He's the founder. He started his company back in 97. They have worked their way through all the changes. Their specialty is everything Apple. So if you have an iPhone, if you have iPads, if you have a Mac, they're the guys to go to. You give them a call at 888-818-MACS, or you can hit them via email at info@MacServe, that's MacServe.com, and they'll help you out. They are real pros with a lot of the things that are happening nowadays. Even the Apple products are not immune anymore to getting viruses and whatnot. So give Sam a call and he'll help you out with those things and help configure your new iPhone. And as you get the next one 6 weeks from now, he can help you do that one too. They also do managed care on your system. So I welcome you to give them a call once again. They are MaxServe. They're in Belmar, 888-818-MACS. They serve the whole Delaware Valley, Delaware, New Jersey, Philadelphia area, so give them a call. So anyhow, back to the water treatment. When we get into the topic of water filtration and water purification, there's a term to know, and that is pore size. So think about it like a screen door. If you've ever been to Florida, and dealt with those flying nuisances that fly up your nose and in your eyes and in your ear that they call noceums, you know that the screens that they have in the windows in this area are basically worthless as a screen door in a submarine, because those noceums will make it right through there and eat you alive and annoy you into frustration. So in Florida and in parts of Georgia and Alabama and whatnot, where these are common occurrences, they have noceum netting or noceum screens. So it's the same thing when we talk about filtration. So purification is merely a very high-end level of having filtration. Mm-hmm. So where it breaks is that when you get to from anything from 0 to 0.2, yeah, which is about most common in the filtration, this is filtration. It will take out dirt, leaves, things along that line,
cool,
some solids. If you get a Brita filter, if you look at the Brita filter webpage, you'll see that they will tell you that they don't have an absolute pore size, but they use a really cool wiggle word, or what we call in the contractual business, a weasel word, and it's called weasel for a good reason. So essentially what they're doing to you is saying, oh yeah, it's like a used car salesman. It was only driven by an old lady to church on Sundays. Forget her grandson who took it in the woods every week. So what you have essentially is a pore size of something like 0.1 or 0.2. Why is this important? Because whatever the largest pore is will pass the most water. So imagine if you have a screen door on your house and there are 10 million mosquitoes outside and your dog stuck its paws on the screen door and there are a couple of really big quarter and half inch holes ripped in the screen. Does it matter that they can't pass through the other part of the screen? Or does it matter that the holes are big enough for every one of them to pass through together? That's really the key.
Right.
If you understand that analogy, you will understand why the vast majority of water filtration devices, Brita, TrueFilter, all these are basically garbage. Okay. Because they do not use a term which is called absolute. If they tell you it can range between zero and 0.4 or 0.1, we're not sure, but we'll tell you it's 0.1, it's good. Oh. Basically, you can say, okay, so fish will swim through it because you don't really know.
Right.
And that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Berkey says on their website, this is what they say. With respect to micron rating, microns are the way they rate the pore size.
Right.
With respect to micron rating, NMCL does not use or publish a micron rating for the Black Berkey, which is, by the way, the only one that they'd even have it for, because the rest are basically you're running it through a coffee filter with some carbon on it for $250. This is there, and this is a quote. There is much confusion with respect to nominal and absolute micron ratings. So educate them.
Yeah.
You have a piece of equipment that you are selling for $250 and for $30, $40, $50 for a replacement filter pack.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Why not educate people?
Right.
And I go on to quote them. An absolute micron rating is one that states the maximum pore size expected within an element. It's not. It is, this is the minimum, the largest size of a hole, that's it. Anything else is smaller, which means it's better filtration. The nominal micron rating is the average pore size within the element. This means that if 90% of the pores are 0.02 microns and 10% are 2 microns, which is 10 times bigger, one could claim the nominal micron rating as 0.2. What? It's 100 times. If 2 and 0.02, that's 100 times smaller. How do you then claim that 0.2? It's malarkey. Which would imply the pathogenic bacteria and parasites would be totally removed. This is not true. Go to any real website from people in science who will have a rating as to what it takes for each size of a pore. For instance, go to Sawyer, that's S-A-W-Y-E-R, Sawyer, and go to them, they're Sawyer.com, and you will see they have a whole section where they're not afraid to tell you their absolute micron pore size in their filters and in their purification units. And they will tell you what it means. And they will show you chemical breakdown tests from a laboratory that is not theirs on how those things work. Why? Because Sawyer, who I back and who I support, they take 50% of their profits every year and take that money and spend it on their units and deliver them to third world countries around the world, in India and in Africa. And they have them, and why not? It's a test bed for them.
Yeah.
If you can work there, where you're basically filtering raw sewage and making it potable without machinery, without power, then you can do it certainly in the Catskills or in the Pine Barrens or in your backyard. So with them, they have a 0.02, they have a 0.01 unit. These are full-on, stop everything, nothing is coming through, no virus, no AIDS, no bacteria, no nothing, no cryptosporidium, no nothing. So right. For those of you who thought at the beginning of this show, if you're still awake, that and you haven't, we haven't lost you with technical detail, remember, this is your life. You need at least 3 gallons of water to get to the end in a day where you intake one of pure water. You need to be able to wash your hands and cook with the water. You need to have fresh water, and you can only store water for so long. So with that in mind, then you need to have somewhat of a knowledge of what to do. You can go to my site to practice survival and look under the water facts section. You can go to Sawyer and read about that. What I don't want you to do is waste your valuable time and money on products that don't even think you're worthy of being told what the scientific specifications of the product are. Later in the article that they have, they claim that their black Berkey removes greater than 99.9999999 of pathogenic bacteria such as E. coli. By the way, they interestingly left out that it doesn't take out Cryptosporidium or Giardia. Friends of mine who actually are part of my group in Williamstown and one of the meetup groups, her whole family 5 or so years ago were out swimming in Collins Lake in the summertime around 4th of July. They all ended up in the hospital with Giardia. It's also known to many people who are hunters as beaver fever. You really don't want to get to know it very well. Some people who've been to Mexico know it as Montezuma's revenge. You and the porcelain altar will be closely mated for several days in ways you don't want to be. When you don't have control of what's coming out of you or when or how much, it's not a pretty thing. Uh-huh. Imagine if that was happening when you have no running water and no means to see. Well, you're at a candle or you have a headlight or whatever. These are critical things. So this is why I wanted to cover water today, because it is one of the critical things. And with that, you should recognize the fact that you should not eat snow, because snow has contaminants in it. Remember that a snow crystal is a snowflake is actually formed around a dust particle. So you are eating some probably pollution dust. Do we have a call?
Yeah, we have.
Okay. Hello, we have a caller.
Hi, Will. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Ooh, we just rocked the house with that one. Oh, good. So how you doing
today? I heard you talking earlier about water treatment. So I have a good water treatment story for you.
All right.
So previously I was a scoutmaster of a troop, and we had taken a trip up to Maine where we were going to climb the end of the Appalachian Trail, the Mount Katahdin.
Oh.
I had some relatively new scouts as part of that process. So we started out pretty well climbing up. The boys had filled their canteens and their water bladders, and they, about three-quarters of the way through the trip, we had gone to the top, they had seen the end of the Appalachian Trail, looked down the knife's edge, we started heading back, and the boys are starting to run out of water in their bladder bag. So we stopped, we filled it up at a pretty good-sized running creek. So when we did that, the boys purified it with iodine tablets.
Mm-hmm.
So we had told them, look, don't drink it, wait 30 minutes, allow it to go through the process of the purification. We figured out how many tablets they needed for their specific bladder bags. One of the boys didn't listen. So, and they drank their water out of their bladder bag within 5-6 minutes of them filling their water up. So we're starting, you know, to come into the heavier hiking section coming down the mountain. They all of a sudden, one of the boys, the boy who didn't wait, gets deathly ill. They starts throwing up, loses a lot of strength pretty instantly, and it got fairly ugly. Mm-hmm. We wound up having to carry him off of Mount Katahdin, which
feedback.
Pressing feet. So, you know, we started talking to the boys afterwards, trying to find out what's going on, talk to him. After, you know, we got him nursed back to health, and he really did not wait the time frame for it, number one, to actually work and purify, and number two, we found out that he most likely was iodine toxic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was poisoned by the iodine, the very thing that he was using to try and purify his water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot more common than most people realize. And of course, the other thing is you're touching on another point that I wanted to make, which is when you're talking about treatment or filtration, not purification, but filtration. When you're using a carbon filter or a carbon media to take out things like benzene and all the TCE and all that, it's all about dwell time. And dwell time is a word that's very specific in the industry, which is how long it stays in contact with that media. And the longer it is, the higher likelihood it is to successfully remove the toxin. And the shorter the time, the less likely it is to remove it. So as a result, this is a big deal because if, you know, just the same with those tablets, if the dwell time is supposed to be 30 minutes and shaken, this is because it only works if it's in contact with that which is making you sick. And then you're in trouble if you shortcut that because you're thirsty. You're going to be really thirsty afterwards. So
yeah, we've tried to steer, you know, I am still involved in scouting as well as doing the emergency management piece. And for both of them, we're really getting away from the tablets, the chemicals, you know, the things that don't work. I heard you talking about the Berkeys earlier. And really moving towards the more solid systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that have the gravity bags, uh-huh, that have good filters.
Right, like the Sawyer dual
really
bag
fantastic.
And all. Hang on one second, Jim. So for those of you who are listening, if you're trying to call in, understand we've just figured this out a while ago, but there are three numbers you can call in on. The first one is 856-227-1360. If you call and there's already a caller in on that number, you will be doing what the listeners are hearing in the background, which is beep like call waiting. It doesn't roll over. The next number that's available is 856-232-7077 and then 232-7078. So if you try calling in right now, 1360 number is busy, so you're not going to get through, but we're going to hear you beeping in the background. And call in on the other, and then Eddie will put you on hold until we're done. Meanwhile, though, sorry, Jim, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're absolutely right. And things like the Sawyer dual bag and a few others that are up there in the 0.015, 0.02 are definitely the way to go, because in 15 minutes you get 4 liters without doing anything, just hanging it up.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier trying to suck through a water filter. You know, sometimes can be difficult, especially after, you know, you've been using it for a while. As you're getting closer to that point where it's going to need to be flushed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like the bladder bag so much. It makes things so much easier. Now, not everybody can carry them because some of them are a little bit bulky, and there are things to go in, you know, everyday bags and things like that that are smaller from Sawyer. But, you know, a combination of different types, you know, really, absolutely, you know, for us, it seemed to work out pretty well.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, too, which is a great point that you make, things like I was saying before, for instance, Camelback has an inline filter. The problem is Camelback's filter is only 0.1. So you can't do what they imply, which is dip that in a stream that's had deer walking and pooing in it and whatnot and all kinds of other animals upstream and expect to be okay. But what you can do with that is filter with something like a Sawyer bag or one of the others at the 0.02 micron level, and then take the taste and some of the chemicals out after you've gotten the biologicals out of the water. So a combination, there's no silver bullet when it comes to water treatment. So a combination of the two is a necessity in the big picture. So if you're gonna go hiking or you want a bug out bag set up and you're gonna have a hydration pack, having an inline filter, and I highly recommend, there's a website, I'm not connected with them, I wish I was, but they're called Go Fast and Light, LIGHT.com, and on there you'll find a filter they have that's called Rapid Pure, and that one has a combination of an electrostatic filter that rates out at about 0.02, and it also has carbon, and they're rated for 9,000 gallons, and they're under $25. So they're really a great answer for short-term use, like you were saying, hiking or whatever. You're in the fire service, so for you going out in the field, you could source water and be able to be safe at drinking it using something like that that weighs 8 ounces.
Yeah, just, you know, having a variety makes, you know, life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting your eggs, all in one basket, you know, sometimes they get cracked.
Yep, so. I agree. I did, by the way, like putting your baskets in one egg is better because, you know, just we do need a little humor on my show every so often. So, well, I appreciate you calling in, Jim, and I know you'll be back on with us. Jim is one of our regulars, and he also teaches some classes for us in our practice preparedness group on Meetup. So don't forget to go there to meetup.com, go to practicepreparedness.com, and join up. Thanks again, Jim, and do you have anything else you want to add?
No. You okay. Guys have a great night. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, so in any event, so in the last few minutes, I wanted to cover just a couple other things to try to put it in your head. There's lots of information on the site on practice survival. It's easiest to find it if you go to practice self-reliance site and just click under the useful information and you'll find the water tips there. It's really easy, quick and easy. With that in mind, it will give you lots and lots of information about what to do to get yourself in a place. By the way, if you have things like the Sawyer bag kit, you are able to hang it up in your kitchen, take water that's coming out of the sink faucet that's not good to drink. If there's a problem where the pipes have been broken, this has happened a lot recently, you can pour the water from the tap into there, hang it up in your kitchen over the sink, and just run it right through the filter into your glass or into a gallon bottle or whatever and put it in the refrigerator and you're good to go. Lots of things about this subject that you need to know. This kind of scraped the surface. I wanted to touch on these so that you kind of get the feel. You should be looking at doing things like rainwater catchment, doing things like making sure that you understand, go into the water mist section on there. I have about moving water. Just because water is moving doesn't mean it's safe. Standing water is a no-no. Don't eat snow. By the way, if snow's been sitting for a while, it will get a really pretty pink hue on it, because there's a certain type of fungus that grows on it and it will make you very ill. Storage is another thing. By the way, don't use clear plastic bottles. They're BPA. They're going to feed your water with toluene and make you sick and all kinds of nasty other things. There's a whole section on the website about BPA. Yes, people are cringing in the background because they know what else it does to you. But I'll leave that out. You can go find out on the site. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, understanding these things, like how to store, get food safe buckets. They're not that expensive. By the way, I saw that they have food safe buckets now in Lowe's, and their prices are always a little on the higher side, and they're in the $7 range for a 5-gallon bucket food safe, and then $2 for the lid, or two something for the lid. So you could fill some of those. They will not leak. On the other hand, water bottles or bottles like the 1-gallon milk jugs will leak like a sieve after about 35 days because they want them to break down if you throw them away and they end up in the garbage dump. So a couple other quick things. I would highly recommend that you go also in that water section to the area that's called How to Remain Hydrated. On there is a urine color chart. Get to know your urine. I know it sounds silly, but let me tell you about, I guess it was four years ago, almost now, I was rear-ended by a tractor trailer while I was sitting at a red light. Before that, they used to call me Superman. I ran 30 plus hour days. I didn't sleep. I rocked the house. I worked all the time. I mountain climbed. I hiked. I kayaked. I did it all. And then suddenly a few months later, I had an internal bleed. And as a result, I learned that you look at all the things that come out of you to make sure that you know you're not bleeding. You can see blood in your output. You can see in your urine, too. So we've got a couple minutes left, and we have a caller. I think we got 2 minutes or so, don't we? Four? Okay. Caller, hello.
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 Hi. You were talking about filtration. And with filtration, I was wondering, and I've come across it, house filtration, where a lot of people went into buying house filtration systems for years. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, having to remove them from their house due to the salt being put into those barrels and people becoming toxic for the salt levels.
You're talking about water softeners then?
Mm-hmm. Yes, with right. the biofilters, and a lot of people depend on biofilters.
Right.
In the animal world, when you talked about the charcoal, we use charcoal for E. coli. That's the only way to detox an animal.
Right.
By using E. coli.
But not in a water filter. And we're going to end up having to probably reconvene on this on another week because we're out of time right now. But it's a good point, is that the household filtration, putting it passed through a filter that absorbs toxins versus that which filters it out. When you're feeding them charcoal, it adheres to those things and puts it out. So, and then it goes out in their effluent. So, and we're going to unfortunately have to leave it at that because I'm out of time right now. So thank you for the call. And
thank
then
you.
We'll reconvene on that later.
Okay.
Alrighty. So, all right. It sounds like we were getting another call in. My God. Okay. So, in any event, we're going to stack them up, I think, at this point. We're going to probably touch some on water next week. So if it's a topic that you're really interested in, you can email me at will@practiceprepareness.com. And then I'll touch on it some more next week. So until then, what do we have, about a minute?
Yeah, about a minute.
Okay, so until then, I am Will Hemingway. This is Practice Preparedness. You can visit us at practicepreparedness.com. Go visit our other sites. Join us for our free classes on meetup.com. If you would like to have a further conversation, we end up a lot of times at the Meadows Diner. Our friends, they're a great local diner in Blackwood, Gloucester Township, right on Black Horse Pike off of Blackwood Clementon Road. Meadows Diner, great people. Tell Nick we sent you and you'll have a good time. Until next time, have a happy holiday, have a good holiday and a safe holiday, and survive to see us next week. We're out of here.